Well, welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, is your boss a reader or a listener? Here we go. So do you think it really matters at all if you use a communication style of your boss? I mean, shouldn't you communicate the way that is most comfortable for you? You know, it's your idea and you got to be comfortable giving it. So why not approach it that way?
Because if comfort were the reason we did things, we'd all sell Barca loungers.
Okay, that's not the answer I was expecting.
You kept saying comfort. I mean, really. I mean, if everything was so comfortable, they wouldn't have to pay us.
That's true.
I guess we have a new antonym for effectiveness, which is comfort.
We periodically get asked by corporate clients to help not just managers, right? But, you know, a manager sometimes brings us in to help individual contributors.
Right.
Now, sometimes it's a highly effective performer who has relationship issues, and we see that quite a bit.
The arrogant performer.
Yeah, right? I think we actually did a cast on that.
Yeah, we did, I think, yeah.
And then sometimes it's helping an entire organization, you know, getting the directs on board with what their managers are doing with one-on-ones or feedback or some kind of other organizational change that we're working with them.
Right, right.
When we do work with groups other than managers, we get all kinds of questions about working with their boss, right?
That is the big one. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and we get it at the conferences and we get it with you know, when we're walking around our corporate clients and the first question we get is, how do I give feedback to my boss?
Yeah, shouldn't we do an over and under on how long into the conference before somebody says, how can I give feedback to my boss, right?
We should. Yeah, we should. It'd be an interesting little bit. Maybe we should do that on the website. For every conference, we ought to just like do an over and under.
Yeah.
Wager your next year's salary increase.
Yeah, and of course the answer is you don't give feedback to your boss, right? But the question that always surprises me that we don't get, everybody wants to zing their boss, or everybody wants to change their boss by giving feedback, but everybody sort of conveniently forgets in that moment that their boss has power over them. And the question they ought to be asking is, how can I influence my boss?
Right, not how I manage my boss.
Right.
Not how I give feedback to my boss, but how do I influence my boss? And we can influence our boss. And there are some ways to be more effective at it than a lot of folks know.
It's easy. It starts with knowing how he or she communicates, right? It's not a matter of what you're comfortable with. It's a matter of getting what you want, of being effective. And if you're going to be effective, if you're in France, speak French, as our friend Cedric and Lori would say at Manager Tools France. If you're going to be in Germany, speak German. And if you're going to talk to a boss, talk the boss's language.
Let's talk more specifically about what do you mean by speaking the boss's language? I mean, we're in the United States, and let's just assume for a second our boss speaks English. So it's not the language, really. What is it?
Yeah. Three key points to this cast about reading and listening. Bosses and everybody else in the world tend to be either a reader or a listener primarily. They prefer to consume new information, or they tend, all things being equal, to consume new information either by reading it or by listening to it. Okay? Either they'd prefer to read an email or read a briefing, or they'd rather be briefed verbally or be told about something. Okay? So we want to lay that out clearly. And then the next two questions really are very simple. We're going to make some recommendations about how to tell which one your boss is. There's some simple things you can do to determine which style, which tendency, which preference your boss has, and then some recommendations about how to deal with it. Now, this cast is not the end-all and be-all of communication styles. We're just going to touch it at a high level. You know, we don't have to go into an incredible amount of detail here, because once everybody gets this idea and they figure out how to do it, they can make the changes. There are thousands of places where you can choose whether to send an email or whether to brief your boss verbally.
Exactly. Now, the fact that bosses and everyone else, by the way, tend to be either readers or listeners, that's not new to us. We've known that for a while. Peter Drucker taught us that a long time ago. And then we learned about DISC, and it was validated even more. We validated everything that Peter Drucker told us. Bosses prefer to be either readers or listeners. They either prefer to consume new information by reading it first or by being told about it first, and it's useful to know which one.
Yeah, there's a caveat there. Note we say tend and prefer. We're not telling you that your boss won't listen if she leans toward being a reader or he won't read if, in fact, he's a listener, if he wants to be brief verbally. Everybody reads and everybody listens. You'll see your boss do both. This is not a black and white either or situation. You don't always have to give your reader boss, if that's what you determine your boss is, a reader in terms of a preference, you don't always have to give that reader boss an email. A short briefing can be fine. And you can certainly send an email to your listener boss too. Everybody knows that there are times when bosses asks, you know, they ask for emails, even though they may in fact be a listener. What's important though about this dichotomy, for the most important thing about it is almost nobody thinks this way. Count on one or two hands how many bosses you've had, and then count on one hand how many of them have said, here's how I'd prefer to be communicated with and or to, right? They just don't do it. People just don't think this way, and yet most people who are listening right now could easily say, I prefer to get an email, or I prefer to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, right? They would say, oh, definitely. There are people who say, oh, I totally want email, and somebody else say, oh, I totally be brief verbally, right?
Right, oh. If somebody asked me, I'd know what I'd have an answer.
Yeah, you'd have email, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you'd have email, and I'd be like, "No way, dude!
Yeah, I know.
Don't send me an email.
I'm on another planet."
Actually, I do. I don't. No, no. What's funny is I love email, but that's mainly because it's asynchronous, right? I've said that before. Here's the key: there is a distinction. There is a noticeable difference. Most bosses won't tell you, "I'm totally equal. Don't care." Most bosses will say one or the other. Okay, either a reader or a listener. And here's the crux of it. You're more likely to be effective communicating with your boss if you honor his or her tendency or his or her preference. We've said this before, right? You and I have talked about this before, right? Most of us, you and I included, and other very effective people we know as well, we're not putting ourselves in the very effective category. We tend to communicate in a way that makes sense to us. Right? People who have been to conferences would say, I'm an outgoing, I'm an emotive communicator. Big gestures, smiling, louder, faster voice than the average person.
Yeah, just slightly. Just slightly.
Yeah, I'm just over the edge. 51-49, that's the way it is. That's the way I talk when I'm not thinking about talking. But if I just do the normal Mark communicating thing, when I'm talking to somebody who's reserved and generally more quiet, I run the risk, and I know I've seen it in their face, I run the risk of being thought a salesman, right? Or disingenuous, or a little too slick, or a little too smooth.
A little manipulative, or a little too, maybe.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, in fact, in my disc profile, it says people feel manipulated by me, right? Not cool. Right? Now look, the same is true with the bias that most people have towards reading or listening. If you, quote, pop in to give a quick briefing to my boss, unquote, because that's what you would want from one of your directs, but you don't realize that your boss is in fact a reader, you think you're doing your boss a favor, and you wonder why your boss is irritated with the interruption of her time. What you're trying to share with her is really valuable to both her and to the rest of your team, right? You'll probably find her asking a lot of questions or asking you to restate things in a different order, maybe with a bit of an edge to their voice, or tell her certain things you left out that really have no bearing on the issue in your mind.
Yeah, no bearing to you.
Exactly, right.
But to her, maybe.
Yeah, it makes sense for you to talk the way, you know, to put your thoughts together the way you would put them together and then just speak them because that's the way you think. But in fact, if your boss is a reader, you pop in to give that briefing and you've irritated your boss and she hasn't learned what you want her to learn and you don't look as good as you think you should look. And it's literally a lose all the way around.
Right. But it's also true, right? If your boss is a listener and you send your boss a professional, complete, thorough email about the meeting as a sign of your willingness to be thorough and show appreciation for her trust in sending you to the meeting in the first place, right? And your boss is a listener, you're going to wonder why she doesn't appreciate all your hard work, right?
Yeah. Let me tell you, if I'm she, and you send me a totally complete and professional email, so on, right? You're probably going to assume I read it.
Yeah, probably.
And maybe I did, but maybe I didn't. I got it, that's for sure. We know that, but I may not have read it.
Yeah, well, what are you going to say to me when I come to you later on the day and say, hey, did you get my email?
I sure did.
What'd you think?
I didn't read it. Oh. I thought you said you got it. I did. But you didn't read it? No. Right? Yeah, the high-eyed dichotomy there. Okay. So everyone's going to assume I read it, and maybe I did. And later in the day, if you came to me and asked me what I thought, I might say, I just skimmed it. It seemed fine. But tell me what the big decision was. I mean, that's what I wanted to hear from you. What was the big decision? Right? And it's in your email. I'm sure it's in your email, but it was buried in the eighth paragraph because there were 10 agenda items. And the eighth one was the one that was a really big thing I sent you in there to listen for. And look, when that happens, when I say, I didn't really read it very in detail, you know, it's clear to you that I didn't spend the time reading it that you did preparing it, you basically have a choice to make, right? You can get your feelings hurt. You can get disappointed. You can get angry. You can lose respect for me because I didn't read your email. Or you can recognize that all I wanted to know was that big decision. And maybe my style of communicating, which is listening, wasn't reached by your long, detailed, accurate, complete email.
Yeah. So if I had done some work ahead of time and I knew your way, your preferred way of consuming information, of communicating, and I communicated to you in that way, I would have been more effective.
Yeah. Simple. Yeah. And look, we started with me being, you know, too emotive and too outgoing with somebody who's reserved. I wish I had learned this 30 years ago. I would have reduced the number of people who thought they were manipulated by me, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what if you're my new boss? I've been working for you very long. Or I've been good. Working for you this for a long good. Time. I still don't know.
Say that again. Say that again. Just let me get the feel of that. Let me get the flavor of that.
No, I can't even believe those words came out of my lips. I'm going to super glue my lips so it doesn't happen again. Okay. So let's hypothetical, like, purely fantastical.
Completely
world.
Fantastical.
I'm working yes. for you and I don't know what your style is. What do I do? Is it hard to figure out what your style is?
It is not hard. There are a few simple ways we can suggest. Don't worry if you don't know initially when your boss first becomes your boss, right? Everyone assumes and understands, bosses as well as directs, that communications improve once people get to know one another. And you'll probably suss it out after a few months, but we can make some recommendations that will help you suss it out in a few days. The first thing you ought to do is ask, right? I mean, I know it sounds really corny. And there are people who will say, well, why would I ask? Because then he'll know I didn't know. Well, if you've never worked with a guy before, why would he assume that you should know, right? Unless he's a public figure. And I bet you couldn't even name public figures, whether they're readers or listeners, right?
Most managers will be so shocked that you cared enough to ask that they'll get over the fact that you didn't know it, right?
Yeah. In fact, you know, I think you're right. You bring up a good point. I think that most directs would be fearful of asking. Most bosses would think, well done, right?
Yeah.
Might as well find out, right? Hey, pretty impressive. You're willing to, it's not exactly sucking up, but you're recognizing that I have power and, you know, they probably wouldn't say it that way, but it's like, hey, good call, man. Make my life easier. Anything you can do to make my life easier, I'm digging that, right? So the first thing you do is ask. It's almost always the easiest thing to do. It's not always the most helpful. We'll explain why in a second. And basically, you either send an email or you ask it verbally. And please, let's not worry just yet about which one's better, email or verbal. Just pick one, right? We don't recommend you ask in a meeting unless your boss called the meeting as a part of a get-to-know-the-boss effort. Let me get to know you. You can get to know me. Or that's the intent of the meeting somehow. Ask in a face-to-face or a one-on-one. You could ask over the phone if you wanted. And our recommended way to ask is, do you prefer communication by email or do you prefer face-to-face?
Yeah. And I wish you would have asked me that over email. You know the answer.
Yeah. We used to ask email or voicemail, and almost nobody prefers voicemail, right? It's not how those people who are listeners prefer to listen, right? Now, the reason asking is not always the most helpful is a lot of managers will say face-to-face because they know it's the richest way to communicate. They know part of their job is to have some sort of relationship with their team. So they say face-to-face early on because they think of that as the right answer.
Yeah.
So it's only the managers who really, really prefer email that actually say so early on in a manager and direct relationship. So therefore, if they say face-to-face, you've got to take that with a bit of a grain of salt.
Gotcha.
Second thing you do is ask a previous direct or a friend of this particular manager you're working for, right? If the manager comes from inside your company or your organization, ask somebody who used to work for or someone who knows him or her. And simple, do they prefer email or do they prefer face-to-face?
What if you get a wishy-washy answer?
It's funny. Here's my experience. Okay, I'm not saying this is fact, but in my experience asking this, and by the way, not just asking my bosses, but asking bosses of people I'm coaching or asking the person I'm coaching to get better at his management style, what his or her style is, so that I can inform his directs. In my experience, if you ask someone who has worked for this other person, if you get a wishy-washy answer, it's likely because the person you're asking isn't sensitive to the boss's style. In other words, they've never thought about reader versus listener. Okay. Now, if you do get a strong answer one way or the other, you've still got to think briefly about the style of the person you're asking. If they themselves prefer email, right, and they say email, you have to discount their answer slightly. Okay. If they don't know any better, they're going to say, well, you know, he seems fine with email, right? He seems fine with email is not the same thing as I know he prefers email, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, if you get a strong answer that's the opposite of the preference of whom you're asking, that is likely a right answer.
Because they were paying attention.
Well, either they were paying attention or the boss hit them over the head with it, right? Right. Hey, you keep coming in and briefing me. I prefer an email.
Yeah. Okay.
Or the other side of that coin is, what is it with all these long emails, man? Just come by and tell me.
Right. So that leads to the next point, though, is you can actually watch your boss's email and see how they correspond on email. And there's some clues there, aren't there?
Yeah, look, if you get short emails, and we mean really short emails, one line, two lines, even one or two words long, you're talking to someone who's likely a listener, okay? If you don't get any emails, if they don't respond to your emails, again, they're likely a listener. On the other hand, if you get long emails from your boss, they're likely a reader. And we're not talking about forwarding distros. We're talking about your boss writing notes to everyone, whether they're broadcast or individual, and they're long emails. Then you're likely talking to a reader at that point.
Right. Now, of course, if you've taken DISC or your organization has taken DISC and you know what your boss's DISC profile is, then it's really easy. Or if you've come to our Effective Communications Conference, then you'll know how to figure out somebody's profile pretty quickly. But what are the clues there if somebody's taken DISC?
If he or she is a D or an I, they're likely a listener. If they're an S or a C, they're likely a reader. If you know DISC and you're pausing on that advice, though, you're not alone. Some people who know DISC would say, wait, I's and S's are the people folks, so they should be listeners. They want face-to-face. But it's actually not the people versus task discriminator that gives us this indication about reader versus listener. It's the chosen speed of communication and their desire to absorb and think or feel about the information as opposed to the actual delivery method. S's and C's prefer to take their time and have their ducks in a row. Delivering verbally, particularly quickly, or discussing something that might end up in a conversation, doesn't give an S or a C as much of a chance to put everything together without interruption. That's why they tend to be readers, and D's and I's who are comfortable with very quick exchanges, a bit less information, willing to move quickly without complete information, maybe increasing risk according to S's and C's, but D's and I's don't think that way, then D's and I's are going to be your listeners rather than your readers.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's probably some listeners out there thinking, well, look, ours is an email culture. We do everything here on email. Everything's done in email. So isn't this question kind of moot since we do everything on email anyways?
Do you think everybody says, look it?
only people who've been around me a while.
Yeah, I do hear that. In fact, it's a standard. I now am old and jaded, and it's a defense mechanism on my part. we've found that while more technical firms and organizations, and certainly software and engineering firms come to mind immediately, you and I both have worked in both of those places many, many times, they lean, and sometimes quite heavily, towards email as the communication channel of choice. And I think there are a lot of people in a lot of the places who would say, yeah, email is probably a preferred channel. And of course, by the way, folks, that's because email is easy. It doesn't mean it's good. It just means it's easy, right? Because the organization leans that way, people mistakenly believe, therefore, that's true, that everybody's a reader rather than a listener. But what we have found is the organizational tendency rarely trumps other individuals' natural style, okay? Now, look, if you're in a software organization, it's very possible you've got a lot of high C's. If you're in an engineering organization, you've probably got a lot of high C's, and those people are readers, okay? There's a chicken and egg thing going on there, right? If you're in a software culture and you have a lot of C's, well, which is it? Is the culture or is it a lot of high C's? Well, it's kind of both. The point we're making here is don't default to the culture just because people tell you it's an email culture. You can still pay attention to the individual. Now, look, if you pay attention to the individual and it's all about email, okay, no brainer. But if you pay attention to an individual in a software firm, for instance, that is skewed heavily technical, where there are a lot of high C's and where email is important, and you still get a strong read that they're a listener rather than a reader, wow, you will be the only person to know that because everybody else will be thinking about the culture, and that will be a professional advantage for you.
Your message is going to stand out like a very loud and clear bell. No doubt.
You know, particularly if you're going to deliver a message that has risk associated with it, right? Now, that's not to say that you wouldn't follow up with an email for documentation if you brief somebody verbally who's a listener, but briefing a listener with a really long email where there are three or four risks buried in the fifth paragraph is, in fact, itself risky behavior.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so now that I know what my boss's preferred means of communication is, how do I be more effective now that I know that? What do I do?
Yeah. Communicate in the form that your boss prefers, regardless of your natural tendency. Choose to speak the language your boss prefers rather than engaging your own tendency. Now, lucky you if your tendency is the same as the boss, right? So, some examples. If you're thinking about stopping by your boss's office for a quick update, something you like doing, but your boss is a reader, consider not doing it. Send him or her a short email. If you're thinking about sending a long email when your boss is a listener, stop by her office or wait until you're one-on-one if you have one.
What if my boss is a reader and she asked me to stop by and we have a conversation? I ended up talking to her. She's a reader, but I've ended up walking her through the idea verbally. What do I do then? Didn't I just screw up?
Yeah, well, here's what people do. They ask me this question, and it's like, my boss asked me to stop by, but I know she's a reader, so I'm just going to send a mail. No. No. That's a case where you don't disagree with your boss. You simply supplement your communication with what he or she prefers. If your boss is a reader and she asks you to stop by, there's nothing wrong with stopping by, giving the verbal briefing, and then afterwards sending a mail to capture key points.
And she'll appreciate that, even though she's got it verbally.
You know this. You're a reader. Wouldn't you totally love that?
I'm just talking this way for argument's sake. I actually know the answer.
Yeah, you do. You love it, man. You love when I send an email. Yeah, we've had an hour-long conversation about strategy, and I send you a note. Hey, here are the key points. Are you agreed? You're like, wow, yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah. You often do that for me, right? I do that all the time.
Yeah,
I love
it. It's my favorite thing in the world to do that. Look, if you're coming to the end of a conversation and your boss is a reader, offer to send her an email of the notes that notes you've made of the conversation as a way of closing out the discussion. They'll love that. Oh, absolutely. Now I don't have to write up my notes. Love it.
Now that's a challenge, right? If you're a talker, right? The idea of going back to your office and writing down what you already briefed your boss on verbally is like pounding nails into your forehead. It will not come naturally, but you got
to. This goes to your part about comfort, right? Right,
yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Comfortable, right? Well, that's why this is not called comfort tools.
Yeah, but it's not even just it's not lack of comfort. It's a nail in your head, okay?
Yeah. You still well, sit in, your, sit in your Barca lounger and pour them there you pound go. The nail into your head, right? You look, the other way around, if your boss is a listener and he asks you to send an email, stop by after you send the email and ask him if he has any questions, right? That's the supplemental piece that gets a more a complete communication happening between you and your boss. Look, if you're thinking about delivering new information to your boss who's a listener, go by and brief him first and follow up with an email for the record to allow them to reference it later if need be. If you're thinking about delivering new information to your boss who's a reader, send them an email first and then stop by to see if he or she has questions. In fact, the new information thing is really key. I think probably I could have talked more about that earlier. It's just new information is really where this is particularly important. There are going to be times when you can get away with an email to a listener without any question. There'll be times when you'll be able to brief somebody verbally who's a reader. But new information particularly, definitely hew toward what your boss does, reading or listening as a first choice.
Yeah, it seems really simple. It's amazing how much of an impact it can make.
Yeah, exactly. It really, that's one of those things. It's like, I think people will write us notes and say, I wish I'd have known this, right? This is one of those simple things. And folks, hopefully we've brought it to tens of thousands of people, but don't think we invented the idea. Peter Drucker invented the idea years and years and years ago, and we're just sharing it with you. We wish you were still here to teach each one of you individually. So wrapping up real quickly, bosses tend to be readers or listeners. We shared some ways that you can tell which your boss is, a reader or listener, and how to be more effective. The sooner we learn that it's the listener, in other words, the receiver who is communicating, the sooner we unlock the secrets to becoming a great communicator, quote unquote. So much of our success in professional life depends upon our boss and how she perceives us and our work. Knowing how best to communicate with her makes us more effective and more successful. And it's easy to do. Use what works for him or her, and it will benefit you.
Awesome. All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you later.